Have you ever struggled with the will of man as opposed to the will of God?
Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. I want His will with all my heart. I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. Thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again about passion and purity. The summer after I said goodbye to Jim Elliot, whom I had fallen in love with during my senior year in college, we had parted with no promises of ever seeing each other again, not even writing letters. And I went to the University of Oklahoma, where I was studying linguistics, and I used to climb up into the top of the stadium where there was a breeze, if there was ever any breeze at all, on those hot plains of Oklahoma. And I would be sitting up there by myself watching those sensational Oklahoma sunsets. It was a wonderful place to be alone, to think and to read and to pray. But I found that I could not think or read or pray except about Jim Elliot. It just seemed that he loomed up in every thought, every line I read in the Bible, and in every prayer. He got mixed up in the morphology and the syntax and the phonemics and the phonetics that I was trying to learn, and he distracted me. So I would spread out my feelings before the Lord, knowing that He knew my frame. He was the one who made me. He remembered that I was dust. He knew all my desires. And I love that verse in Psalms. It says, "All my desire is before Thee." I would spread it out in my prayers. I would write it out in my journals and simply acknowledge to God exactly how I felt about this man, because I couldn't acknowledge it to anybody else, least of all to him. I knew that God loved us both, and He knew how to bring us home again. And even though it might seem like a terribly long detour if God was ever going to bring us together, I knew that God can use even the detours to bring us home again. Love sickness does seem like a trifle compared with other kinds of sickness, but let's face it, the one who is sick with love is really sick, and the Heavenly Father understands that. He steadily draws us along His pathway to glory if our deepest heart is set on His kingdom. If we are not of those whom Psalm 78:8 speaks of as a generation with no firm purpose, whose hearts are not steadily fixed on God. On July 3rd, I wrote in my journal a verse from Psalm 44, "We've not gone back on our purpose, nor have our feet strayed from Thy path. Yet Thou hast crushed us, as the sea serpent was crushed, and covered us with the darkness of death." I'm sure that the reason I copied that verse from the Psalms in there was because that's exactly the way I was feeling, crushed and covered with darkness. This was way back in 1948. Then I wrote underneath that verse this, I guess you might call it a poem. I would hesitate to call it a poem, but I wrote it in the form of a poem. "I wait. Dear Lord, Thy ways are past finding out. Thy love too high. Oh, hold me still beneath Thy shadow. It is enough that Thou lift up the light of Thy countenance. I wait, because I am commanded so to do. My mind is filled with wonderings. My soul asks, why? But then the quiet word, wait Thou only upon God. And so not even for the light to show a step ahead, but for Thee, dear Lord, I wait." Well, have you ever struggled with the will of man as opposed to the will of God? That is a human struggle, isn't it? And if Jesus himself, in an agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done," we know that it's legitimate for us to have struggles. Jesus never sinned against his Father. And yet, as a human being, as fully a man, he struggled with the conflict of what was facing him and with his desire to do the will of his Father. And there's a matter which I think causes a lot of confusion sometimes. People think that it's only the bad things that must be surrendered to God. Why would God ask me to surrender something good? Well, God has asked us to love him more than wife or husband or children or possessions. And when a young man came to him asking what he must do to be saved, God said to him, "You must sell everything you have." Now, does that mean that everything the man had was evil? Certainly not. But we have to choose between the best things in this world and God himself. We must be willing to lay everything before him, to sell, in effect, all our possessions. And Jesus said, "Do not be anxious for anything. Do not be of anxious mind. Instead," he said, "seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." Seek first the kingdom of God. That applies in every area of our lives. I'm speaking specifically of the area of the love life. Is there someone listening to me today who is in love with someone that he or she knows cannot possibly be God's choice? Perhaps you're a Christian and you've fallen in love with a non-Christian. The Scripture specifically forbids us to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Are you going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Or are you going to seek first your own happiness? If you seek your own happiness, you're going to miss it. If you seek first the kingdom of God, it would be impossible to miss not just happiness, but the deepest joy, ultimately. I love these tender and compassionate words that Jesus spoke. "Don't be afraid, you tiny flock. Your Father plans to give you the kingdom. Go ahead and sell your possessions." In other words, he's saying, in effect, if you sold everything you have, if you gave up everything you have, could you possibly lose? What is it exactly that you're clinging so tenaciously to? What do you think you'll lose if you let go of it? And Jesus called the people little faiths. Does that term apply to you and me? It certainly does to me. "Oh, you of little faith, you little faiths, what's your problem? How much treasure are you laying up in heaven? Don't you realize that the treasure that you lay up in heaven is absolutely indestructible? Moths can never touch it, rust can never touch it, thieves can never break in and steal it. It's forever." Maybe I'm speaking to someone who has lost something or someone. Do you think it's forever? What kind of thinking is that for a Christian? We're people of another world, another kingdom, another perspective. All that was ever ours is ours forever. Didn't you know that? God is keeping it for us, keeping it in a mysterious way, to give it back to us if we give it to him. We can never lose when we give it to God. Well, skipping over the story of passion and purity, God did give me Jim after 5.5 years of waiting. He gave me the gift that I wanted more than anything else in the world. My dreams came true. I became Mrs. P. James Elliott. He gave me that gift for a while. Then I lost him. Jim was killed 27 months after we were married. But did I really lose him? That, too, was a part of God's pathway to bring me to glory. I have no doubt that there will be surprises when we get to heaven. Now, I'm not suggesting that Jim and I are going to have the same relationship that we had on earth, because after all, I've now got husband number three, and husband number two has a wife up in heaven. He is also in heaven. I've got two husbands in heaven and one here. But I'm convinced that there are going to be some surprises. If we understood them now, they would blow our minds. I think what God has in store for us up there in terms of love is going to be so far beyond our wildest dreams and imaginings that He couldn't possibly reveal them to us now, because we would never be able to keep our minds on our work. Jim Elliot had written in his journal, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He gave his life, which he couldn't keep, to gain what he could not lose. We had practiced doing that when we gave each other back to God. And then God gave us to each other for a time. But when I became a widow, I had to say, "Yes, Lord. If this is what you want for me, I'll take it. I will release to you this man whom I love." And I can testify after all these years, if you give everything to God, you lose nothing. Isn't that a good note on which to end? If you give everything to God, you lose nothing.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.